Welcome back, my faithfully led tribe. It is your faithfully led host, Sean Romero, coming back with another outstanding episode. And let me tell you something, I'm bringing back, we had so much fun the last time. So I keep calling them the dynamic duo because they're superheroes. I'm telling you, they are the dynamic duo. I'm telling you, they're awesome, the dynamic duo of business. But before I bring them back on, guys, remember, go ahead and hit that like and subscribe button, especially if you're on iTunes, and go ahead, leave a comment, leave a rating, because you just never know who needs to hear this message. And we know how iTunes work, man, that algorithm, you got to get it going because people really need to hear this message, especially today. You know, things are starting to open up, things are starting to change, but we still are in a huge uncertainty in our world, in our country, in our communities. And a lot of people are hurting. Right now, they're talking about 40% of businesses possibly never coming back. So 40% is a very big number, especially when you're a small mom and pop store. So I had Alex and Sarah Dumas on here of AbundanceDaily.com, and they were talking about how their entrepreneurship and their individual backgrounds. So I decided to say, hey, let's bring them back on and let's talk about this, because, you know, who better way to get some really awesome advice, especially financial advice, but also thinking about, hey, if your job isn't coming back, you have to make that pivot on whether or not you want to start a new career or you want to go in business for yourself. And why not ask the superheroes? So with that further ado, Alex and Sarah, thank you for being back on. How are you guys doing today?
Thanks for having us again, and we're doing good.
Outstanding. I know that, you know, we had a little, you know, meltdown right there with the five-year-old a little earlier. So, So guys, I'm just letting you know, because they are mom and dad just like everyone else, and they have mom and dad duties also. So just putting it out there. You know, they've got beautiful babies, and they come first. They come first before anything, you know, so I get it. So guys, you know, it's pretty scary out there. I mean, and I don't want to put any more fear out there. I don't want to put any more stuff like that. But, you know, I do life insurance, but the life insurance I sell is final expense. And that's basically preparing you for the inevitable. Everybody has an expiration date. It's inevitable. We're going to pass away, and we need to set ourselves up for that, you know, in the future, but in our families. But in the meantime, you know, we have to make a pivot here. And for a lot of people, this is a very devastating time. You know, 40% is a big number. I mean, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of people's jobs that are never going to reopen. There's people going to live their lives a different way from now on. So, you know, how do we get somebody, you know, I mean, first things first, what do you think is the first step for someone who is in this position right now, especially with their money, especially if they were living paycheck to paycheck, you know, because there's a lot of people out there that were living paycheck to paycheck. So what do we do for those people first? What's the first step?
So I think right now, the biggest thing would probably be to taking advantage of whatever you can of what your bill, you know, your creditors are offering you. Like, you know, some mortgage companies are offering deferment right now, and that's not really the best thing to do, but it's like, it's better than depleting your funds, because you wanna position yourself in a way where you can still afford, you know, gas in your car to drive, you know, go where you need to go, groceries or whatever. So looking for whatever programs that they are that either your creditors are offering, or even just your state or local government, and taking advantage of that, and don't let your ego or your pride get in the way. You know, like, these are unprecedented times, right? So that's number one. Number two, I would say, is, and I think that everybody needs this, not just during these times, but especially during these times, is making sure that you have a budget, and that you know where your money's going, and you're not just spending on a whim. And it's like, oh, wait, how did my checking account get withdrawn, you know, overdrawn by $500? It's right, like, right. You should know what's coming in and going out. So, when we used to do more of the financial education stuff, a lot of the feedback that I get from clients is like, they're like, oh, budget, like, that's scary. And it's really not. Like, don't overcomplicate it. It can be very basic, very easy. I personally, I don't even use any kind of like crazy budget thing. I use an Excel spreadsheet that says payday, the dollar amounts that I know are coming in, and then below that are all of our expenses that I'm where I'm allocating that money to, including if you have, you know, surplus that you can save, then I make sure that every dollar literally from my paycheck or whatever money's coming in is, has an allocation place. So it's not like, well, $1,200 came in, I only had to pay $300 worth of bills. Where did $900 go? I don't know. Like, you know, so you have a place, you have a bucket for everything. And then that also really puts into perspective, like, for you to visualize where your money is going and to see maybe where you can cut back on stuff. Like, one of the things we did years ago was we cut cable. We just have internet service and we use Amazon and Netflix and now Disney Plus. And so those things do add up. So you want to be, you know, mindful of that too. But at the end of the day, it's much cheaper than having a
cable subscription.
$250 cable bill or whatever.
No, I'm there with you. I do the same thing. You know, I haven't had cable in my house probably almost 2 years now. And yeah. I do the same thing. You know, I get Netflix, I get, you know, Amazon Prime and you know, now Disney Plus and stuff, you know, because huge Marvel fan, you got to have the Avengers, you know? So, you know, you got, yeah, see, you're right there, you know, and you, Captain America, we got to do that, you know? So, but, you know, it, so you also, you got to keep the kids entertained, you know, you got to keep the kids entertained and really you, there's nothing that you can't get online right now. So, I mean, that's a great, that's absolutely imperative, especially, you know, budget, but let's talk about this. I'm going to kind of, you know, be a little devil's advocate here. So, you know, people, not many people, let's say, understand how to build a budget and they don't have that relationship with money, you know, where some people feel like, hey, they've never had it, or since they're living paycheck to paycheck, you know, they've never had that really good relationship with money and it stinks. So they don't understand how to do it. And like you said, get over your pride to kind of like, you know, swallow your pride. You know, what would be some of the ways that they can go to kind of learn how to do that? Because they may not know.
So I think, you know, if you want, do a quick Google search if you want to get some kind of like a budget template or some budget ideas. But as I mentioned, like you could even just do something like if you just did a spreadsheet where you have your, you know when you're going to get your paycheck or whatever. If you're on a business side, you know, that might look a little iffy just because if you don't have consistent cash flow, but even if you're just planning for your next, like what you know is coming in, back before we even got into anything finance, when we were young and dumb, like teenagers together, like we legit had like a piece of paper that we wrote and we said, okay, our paychecks total to $1,200 or whatever it was. What do we have? What's due right now that like we have to pay? Okay, well, we got to pay $100 to electric. Go ahead. So just doing something like that. And maybe a good place to start for somebody who has never done anything like that is just instead of throwing away your bills when they come in, just put them in a folder or something where you have your most recent bill and you know you didn't pay it, so you know it's due, and then you can sit down, make just some time where no matter how painful you feel like it's going to be, to just kind of go through that and look at your due dates and then be like, okay, when is the next time I'm going to have some kind of money? Or maybe you have some money in the bank right now, whatever. But then you can kind of just do it plainly like that, like simple baby steps. You know money's coming in, you know you have bills due, and just do that initial like matchup of, okay, what am I going to do with this $1,200, and make a decision and decide where you're going to allocate it.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the best way to do it. I mean, honestly, I mean, but you really have to be diligent. I mean, at the end of the day, you have to be diligent and you have to be honest with yourself. I think that if you're not being honest with yourself, you're only setting yourself up for failure, you know, because you're just masking the problem And then it just kind of continues and continues and snowballs and snowballs. Because listen, I understand. You see those bills, you get anxiety. You don't want to open them. You're like, oh my gosh, you know, now I got to pay this. And like, oh man, you know, and you got Robin Peter to pay Paul. I get it. It hurts. It sucks, you know? And then the kids are like, hey, I want some Ritas. You know what I mean? I want some water ice, you know? And you're like, you can't get water ice, you know? Here's some Mio and some ice cubes. We got it. You know, yeah. We'll probably call it a day. But, you know, I totally get it. So, you know, when they start finally seeing the shift, you know, and they're saying, okay, you know, now I've got this in place. I got my budget in place. But now I got to get income coming. And they're not sure of where to go or what to do, you know, and it's a huge shift and it takes a lot of faith in yourself, you know, and to set that foundation, especially, you know, even if you're a believer, you know, it takes a lot of faith to sit there and say, okay, God, just send me in that direction. Where do you want me to go? What is it that you need me to do? Or where is it that you want me to go so I can get that provision? You know, and it's a scary, scary conversation to even just to have with yourself. What do you think that people should look to? I mean, because I know, you know, a lot of people are going to sit there and say, well, I like this. And perfect example, you know, I'm a pilot. I want to be a fighter pilot. And I ended up being just, you know, fighter mechanic. And I got a chance to fly the F-16. I've got 1.2 hours officially in the F-16. What I learned from that was that I'm a way better crew chief than I was a fighter pilot. Don't get me wrong. I still love to fly and I still love to do that stuff. But I know that I wouldn't have been able to be a very good fighter pilot. You know, I mean, probably with time, I would have been able to, you know, work it out and be, you know, pretty proficient. But at the same time, a lot of people they're feeling that time crunch, you know, and their emotions are kind of like, well, I like this, but I like that. And because we're filled with so much information, but there's little wisdom there, you know? And so what do you tell that person? How do you help them get on that path to say, okay, let's filter all this out and let's focus on what you can do so that way you can be successful?
Well, you're talking to a multi-passionate entrepreneur in here. So that has been my struggle forever because I'm always like, ooh, shiny ball. Oh, wait, there's another shiny ball. Oh, wait, hold on. What? What's today's new thing? Yeah, I want to do that. So that has definitely been my struggle. And I guess you can say I maybe mastered it, but I don't even know if I would consider myself like a master at it. But just some of the advice that I can give to somebody like that is, first of all, just maybe like make a list of like what are the top whatever 5-10 things that you're interested in. And then what on that piece of paper like really calls to you? Like there is an order to like what are you more interested in? And then the thing I have always said to people, and this actually comes from back in my direct sales days, and it's huge for direct sales people. So if anybody considering direct sales is listening to this, I think this is even more important for you to ask yourself, but it can apply to any entrepreneur or anybody wanting to start a business. Look at yourself in the mirror and genuinely ask yourself, if I did this and I could make no money, would I still do it? And if your genuine answer is yes, like a hell yes, then that's what you need to be doing. If there's any hesitation, like maybe, that's a hell no. It's either hell yes or hell no. Like there's no in between. So if you're hesitant on something, chop it off your list. Not to say that you can never go back to it, but that's just not right now. And whatever out of that list of things is your most yes is what I would say to go to first. The other piece of advice that I would say is to never put yourself in a box and to not say, like, let's just take coaching, for example, not say, I want to be a business coach and I have to be a business coach and tunnel vision on business coach. And then once you start business coaching, you start finding just from even talking to the different clients you have, hey, I'm better off like I'm leaning towards these kind of people. Well, then let your business go to that kind of people. And maybe it's not business coaching, maybe it's relationships or positivity coaching or mindset or
health and wellness
or life coaching or something. Any kind of, you know, I guess that it could apply to other businesses. I just don't have a good example off the top of my head. But yeah, because if you stick yourself in a box and you start, you say, well, I got to commit to this. This is what I started. I got to like see it through the end. If you're not, if the passion's not there, at the end of the day, you're going to resent your business and you're not going to do it and you're going to self-sabotage anyway. So, there's no point in kind of like forcing yourself to be there. And I think that that's really big with multi-passionate people because you kind of need to let your, I guess you can say intuition is like the only word that I can think of it, like kind of guide you to where your calling is. That's a better way to say it, I guess. And you might not, it's not like one day you wake up and it's like, oh, ding, my calling is this. Like, yeah. That doesn't happen. So
yeah.
I wish it did. That would be a lot easier.
Yeah.
But usually you get clarity through the action. So don't let the fear hold you back and the confusion hold you back. Start something and just let it kind of let the...
let the wagon
Let the course change if it needs to, you know.
I mean, for us, like for people who followed us for over the years, you know, we had different businesses and, you know, blogging and things like that, and then going into the financial space, yeah, the network marketing, financial space. So people have seen it. I mean, anybody's really been paying attention over the last 12 years of just this transition, this, you know, this growth, this metamorphosis, so to speak. So like Sarah said, it's okay for you to change. Don't feel like you're being a wishy-washy person. One thing I would advise is saying, if there's a business or an idea that you're working on, a passion, write it out for 90 days, 6 months, you know, see, you know, really, you know, commit to it in essence. And if you're still like, you know what, this isn't really what I'm about, at least you gave it a shot. Don't just be like, all right, it's 1 week. Nothing's happening.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Plant the seeds.
Don't let the crickets discourage you. Yeah. Like really like get some real clients or some real customers or whatever, and just get their feedback and everything like that. And just even, I think specifically in the coaching world, this really happens because this is where my clarity just kind of came in. Like once you talk to your like first or second client, you're going to be like, I don't really want to kind of deal with people like that, you know? So it's like, you know, I'd rather talk about this. If you're selling like a consumer product or something along those lines, or you're thinking of like a service that you want to start up, same thing, like get your client feedback or your customer feedback and see how can you tweak the product. You know, if you want to make some bath and body products, maybe you start with like sugar scrubs, but your clients are more interested in like moisturizers and, you know, so you just kind of like see where it goes, see what the people around you are wanting, especially if it's like a consumer product.
This is simple. Don't overcomplicate it with your passion. And
don't
ask people, would they like it? Are they interested? If they are, then you can make an exchange out.
And don't let the fear stop you. I think that that's a big thing. People can plan forever. And they're like, one day.
Well, it's not the right time yet.
Yeah.
It's never going to be the right time.
Just do it. Because like I said before, there's clarity in the action. You can spend 3 years planning a business, and after a month of doing it, you're like, I completely hate this. Why did I think this was a good idea? So why spend all that time, spend all that money if there was money involved or whatever? Your time is money. So why spend all that and then end up hating it anyway? Get an idea, maybe think about it for a couple of days a week, start executing it and see just what happens and how you feel about it.
You know, I it comes to mind, you know, General Patton, he said, famously, he said, I'd much rather execute the most imperfect plan today than the most perfect plan 2 weeks from now. And, you know, it really does, you know, speak a lot, because fear holds a lot of people back. Fear holds, you know, and it's a lot, and it's not even so much fear of failure. It's a lot of times it's fear of success, you know, and I'm speaking from experience, because, you know, I'll sit there and I'll go, man, are they going to really resonate with me? Are they going to feel like, are they going to think I'm a fraud? You know, and especially today, in today's world, where you can say one thing today and it could be awesome, and then for whatever reason, somebody thinks that you're bad, and they've got to try and cancel you. They'll do the culture the cancel culture. Yeah. And then they're trying to go back like 30 years when you're like in third grade, and they're said, no, you know what? You know, no. Remember what you said in third grade? You know, it's like, you know, yeah. So I think a lot of people have that fear of like saying, you know, if they do this, you know, they're going to say, oh my gosh, what are they going to twist this? What are they going to say that? You know, yeah. But really you have to be able, to drop the bomb. You have to do it. You know, I mean, one of my pilots told me, he said, listen, if you're going to drop a 500 pounder, just, you know, you're going to know you're going to make an impact. So just drop it. You know, you got to drop it. You got to hit your target. You know, you got to look at your target and go hit it, you know? So Alex, I'm going to ask you this though. Sure. So as a guy, okay. And we know as guys, you know, we have, again, our pride, we have our egos and stuff. But we tend to want to fix situations that we think are fixable rather than saying, all right, man, let me kind of think outside of the box. You know, how do we get guys, whether they're single guys or they're, you know, married and stuff like that, to be able to understand that it's okay, you know, they don't have to follow that stigma, especially in today's environment, you know, to get them to think differently, to put on that different thinking cap, to change gears, to sit there and say, I can do this. This is something that may have been put in my heart. God put this in my heart. I got to go for this. But they've got a ton of weight on their shoulders. You know, they got to think about their family because they may be the breadwinner. You know, they got to think about, you know, how long it's going to take to be able to do this. You know what I mean? And they've got all this other stresses that add on to it. And we all know, you know, as you know, couples and stuff like that, you know, the outside stressors really do come in and create even more, you know, discord. So how do we as men go ahead and go put on that cap and say, this is what I'm going to do. And I got to change gears. How do we adapt to that situation?
Good question. I would say it'd be the word side. Decide. And it sounds simple. I know it's like, everybody makes a decision, but you make a decision every day in your life. You decide to do something, you're not doing it, right? You either decide to work on your business, work on your craft, improve your skills, or you're not. Is Netflix more important than that? Is your video games more important than that? Is your pride more important than that? And can you find it within yourself to ask for help? Because we all need help. There's nobody out here who's ever built anything on their own. If you ever hear somebody say, I'm a self-made millionaire. Well, somebody printed the money that you earned. Somebody built the bank that you store your money in. Somebody built the clothes, or you know, tailored the clothes that you wear. Somebody paved the roads that you drive on. So did you go out and get the horse and buggy and pave the road yourself? Did you, you know what I mean? Did you build the computer yourself and build the circuit? So I'm using it as a funny example, but all of these different elements have come together for you. And as a man, we have to be willing to take that constructive criticism, that feedback, and not let our pride, not let our ego get the best of us, because look at it this way in biblical terms, Jesus had 12 people with him, 12 mm-hmm. disciples. That's all it took. He didn't have five, he didn't do it solo, he didn't, you know what I mean? He needed 12 people at the jump to spread this message. Now that's obviously impacted billions of people around the world. Yeah. Your business may not be that, your vision may not get to that kind of level, but who can you ask for help? Who can you rely on? Do you have a mentor? Do you have a coach? Do you have somebody in your family that you can just ping some ideas off of? And, you know, there's plenty of times where I'm, you know, rambling on to Sarah, like, hey, this is it. And she's just like, what about if we do it like this? And I'm like, the light bulb goes. I'm like, you know what? That's a good idea. I should have thought of that, but you can't think about it. You know what? There's a saying where when you're too close to the elephant, you can't see the elephant.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, you're in the frame right now. You got to step outside and look at the picture, you know, from a different lens. And that's where you need people on your side, you support. And that can come from other men, that can come from your significant other, that can come from family, that can just come from even just connecting with somebody on the internet and just, you know, going to different groups. And, you know, that's why we love building our groups. We love building our coaching community, our business and our marriage community, because there's different things that people just never have thought about or considered before. And that's what it's all about, opening those new doors. So as a man, the father sent down the son, he's the carpenter. So keep opening doors, keep those lines of communication open with anybody who can help you out, because we're all here to support each other, I feel like. Yeah. Most people are.
Amen. And so I'm going to pose this question for you too, because I know there's going to be a lot of people going to, because I'm going to ask Sarah this question too, but I want to ask you first. As a man, okay, generally the tradition is that a man is the breadwinner and, you know, the wife usually is the homemaker and stuff, but that isn't necessarily the case anymore. So let's say that your wife is the breadwinner and she's going through so much. And listen, we're different. Men are different from women. And we're made that way. We're created that way. God created us that way, you know, and it's okay. It's okay that we are not able to do things that women do. And it's okay for women not to be able to do things that men do. It's okay. But when we are in a relationship and we are in a crisis like this, and your significant other, your wife, is the breadwinner, what do you say to that man to help her be that woman that she's leading the household? Because your job is different right now. And she's the one that has to, she's got the career. She's got, you know, and it's okay. What do you say to that guy?
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because this is our situation at home. With our, you know, full-time positions, she's making a higher income than I am. So the best example I can put this is, and this isn't necessarily Christian friendly, but it's from Chris Rock's latest special on Netflix, where we are a band. You know, in our example, what we teach when we coach is we're a team, but in this example, we're a band. And sometimes you're gonna be the lead singer, and sometimes you're gonna have to learn how to play the tambourine. And when you play that tambourine, you gotta play it. You can't. People get sick. You gotta hit it with your hip. You gotta bang the hell out of it. And you gotta be your spouse's biggest cheerleader, you know? And, you know, for me, I understand that there's different things that are gonna stress her, that are trigger. So I'm gonna try to do what I can to alleviate that, because, I mean, we both work hard. We both have our careers. We're both building our business. We both are parents. We both, you know, obviously have our romantic relationship that we have to keep going, keep the fire burning there. So there's all these different things, but it's about the part of the team philosophy that we have is the agreements. You know what? I'm going to take care of the dishes. I'm going to take care of the laundry. I'm going to take care of this, this, and this, so that you don't have to worry about that. So you don't have to stress about that. And for a man out there, don't feel like emasculated for that. You should be proud. You should be grateful that you have an opportunity to serve and support your lady, because it wasn't too long ago that she wouldn't even have that opportunity. She would have been, you know, she tries to go into a war room. It's like, who is this? Who's this dame? Who's this broad? You know, I mean, I don't know about you, but someone refers to my wife like that, they're getting their head cracked open. I mean, that's just, that's the end of the conversation. But you know, there has, as a man, like I said, play the tambourine, understand your role, your responsibility, and it doesn't make you less of a man, because there's definitely things that she'll still come to me for and be like, hey, can you help me with this? Can you do this? And I was like, well, yes, I can. But, you know, just put the ego aside. You're edging God out with your ego. Hopefully everybody hear that acronym right there. So put it aside, play the tambourine.
I like that, man. I do. I like that a lot. So what about you, Sarah? You know, you're a headstrong woman. You're the second half of the dynamic duo.
You guys should have
your own comic book. I'm telling you, you guys should be on Disney Plus, you know, with the Avengers there. You know, I mean, all jokes aside, but you guys are such a power couple. You guys really are. How do you, you know, the roles reversed, you know, and you know, that you've gone from that two income family to now a no income family. And now one of you has to go out and do that, you know, and what do you say to that woman who possibly was the breadwinner and now has to step back and go into that role of support? And she doesn't understand how to do it. What do you tell her?
I think that kind of feeding off of what Alex said, it's like, at the end of the day, you're a couple, right? So God made you one. And so at the end of the day, it doesn't matter who is bringing in what money. What matters is that you're able to keep a roof over your head. You're able to keep food in your mouth and all that. And so,
He's like, wait, food?
We're getting hungry.
I'm catching the ghost right now, so I'm just like, I'm right.
So at the end of the day, that's all that matters. And I think it's easy to maybe in your relationship have a chip on your shoulder or whatever if you're the breadwinner. And I think that could go for men or women. But I think making that shift, once you make that shift to like being like the team player mentality, this is for my family, this is not my ego, like I am my family, you know, that kind of a thing. It changes your life. Like it changes it's not me against him. It's not him against me. It's not, oh, I worked 50 hours today, so you better have dinner ready and do the dishes. Like, what is that? Like, if he walks in the house and the house is a mess and there's no dinner, he's going to cook his own dinner. Like, he doesn't care, you know? And that might be, like, more so for us, too, just because, like, for years, Alex worked crazy hours and he wouldn't get home until midnight or whatever. So we still to this day like have a dynamic where it's like, if you're hungry, go cook some food. Like, don't expect the meal to be, you know, it's
right,
like
right.
Where are my grapes? Where's the
if we have a meal together, great. If there's nothing cooked, then you want to eat, you know where the food in the pan is.
Exactly.
You know? So it's just kind of I guess having that mindset and I'll say too, like both of you have to be on board with that, because either as just the woman or just the man can't make that decision of all of a sudden, hey, we're going to have this team mentality when you never had that dynamic in your household before. So if that is you and you want to make that change in your family, the first thing you need to do is sit down with your spouse and have a conversation related to it, and probably approach it more so on the side of, hey, I want to help you out around the house or whatever, you know, and kind of like making the other spouse feel good of, let me help you with that. Or, you know, it's just like, if he's in the middle of a coaching call or something like that, and a lot of times, you know, people want to talk at night and that's the same time the kids got to go to bed. And he usually actually does dad, you know, bedtime. So, like, I'll be like, all right, I got you. Like, I'm not going to make him be like, hey, you got to cancel that coaching call, 'cause you got to put the kids to bed, you know? Like,
that's right.
It's just, my success is your success.
Right.
Typical thing.
If he brings in the money, like, I don't care if he brought it in or I brought it in, as long as it comes in, like, you know. So at the end of the day, that's just, I think that's an important way to think about it. And just kind of switching to that family team mindset.
Yeah. I mean, there has to be that level of, you know, understanding and appreciation really for you both, and understanding that, hey, this is a marathon, it's a journey, and that's what it's all about. And when we look back and where the kids are grown and we're sitting on our porch in our rocking chairs, you know, enjoying the grandkids or whatever, you know, we can look back and say, yeah, these are the lessons that we learned, and these were great times. You know, these are going to be our golden years. We're literally living our golden years, you know, if you will. And so you have to, again, let go of a lot of that pride. And because I think that, you know, pride is such a, man, that's such a huge knife that can just, it can really derail a lot of things. And I think more so than anything, you know, when people sit there and say, you know, about the divorce rate and why people divorce, I would argue that it would be about pride. Because if you're too prideful to discuss certain things, or if you're too prideful to have an open conversation and understand that this is your partner and that you both decided to be in this, then that's where the disconnect, you know. When I was in maintenance, we troubleshot, you know, that was our job. We had to troubleshoot problems, but we had to go back to the basic, what the problem stemmed from, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that's key. So, you know, as we wrap this up, what do you think, you know, when people start, you know, things start opening up and people start, you know, really start finding their niche and stuff like that, what's the thing that they could use to continue that success? Because some people are going to start and stop and stumble, but eventually they're going to find their niche. They're going to find their success. They're going to find their rhythm, but they have to sustain it. And in order to sustain it, they have to have something to be able to continue to sustain. Because listen, you know, you can, it's like this. I kind of like to use this analogy. It's like, you know, you got a truck, you know, you go in and you're putting the gas in the tank, but you know, if not, you're just going to spray it all over the place. That's not helping anything. You know, you have to have that gas in the tank so that we can feed the motor and the motor can start moving and get you to where you need to go. It's that sustainability. How do people get to that point, and how do people are able to be that sustainability, keep that sustainability rather, during this uncertain time?
I would say probably two things. One, taking care of yourself first, really paying attention to your emotions, paying attention to your self-care. Are you sleeping enough? Are you eating enough? Are you, you know, exercising in a healthy way? And, you know, just making sure you're making good choices, smart choices, because as we've all seen these last couple months, your health is paramount. I mean, if you're sick, everything falls apart. You know, you can't do anything. So really take care of yourself first. Really be mindful of your energy, because that we're all parts of vibration. You all can feel different energy. Right now, we see you, Sean. You're at a high energy. You're focused. You're good. You obviously in decent shape. So you take care of yourself. When you're sluggish, when you're sleepy, when you're that feeds you to your mental state. Now I'm depressed.
Right.
I'm anxious. No, you're not. You're just not focused. You're just not driven. You're just not pursuing something. So that's one thing. And two, to keep the sustainability, I would say one thing. What is one thing you can do today that will push you closer? And it doesn't have to be anything major. People think, I want to make $100,000 a year, so I've got to make $10,000 tomorrow. That if you have an amazing product and service and somebody's willing to pay for it, kudos to you, blessings to your life. But more than likely, it's not going to happen. So what can you do today? Can you have a conversation with somebody? Can you connect with one person every day? Share your story. Be an evangelist for your mission. Be an evangelist and passionate for your journey. And if you can do that, and if you can connect those dots, and not in a salesy, overwhelming, you got to hear about my business. No, nobody wants that. Don't be a crazy
not
psycho.
Not in a unsolicited message into Facebook.
Yeah, Trust me, because we've made those mistakes in the past. We can speak from experience, and we've learned our lessons, but you know, just being passionate, just be aligned with that business, that dream, and then every day, just something. It could be as simple as I broke down a little bit more of a business plan. I sent an email out today. I looked at some YouTube videos of this thing I wanted to do, or you know, whatever it is, reading books, personal development, just work on yourself. So take care of yourself, develop yourself, and just keep going.
And I'll just add two things to that also. So one thing to the first thing he said about taking care of yourself. One thing to add to that would be about, we talk about, we call it the stench of desperation, right? So you don't want to, as hard as it might be, if you're like, your income was cut off and you're like, I got bills to pay, I need money tomorrow. Like, how do I get money tomorrow? First of all, like, business is not a get rich quick scheme, and nothing, no matter what you do, no matter who tells you how much money they made doing what, you're not going to make that tomorrow. So be realistic with that, and not coming off in this energy of, oh my goodness, like, you have to, like, please buy it, please, 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 you know, or like hard closing, you know. That was one of the things that we learned a lot of lessons, especially in the financial service world, because in that particular world, they tend to, you know, kind of make you hard closers and don't take no for an answer, and you can't, you know. So it's very easy to like get in that mentality. But when you do, you actually repel people instead of attracting them. So with what Alex said with kind of taking care of yourself is like just like calming yourself, aligning yourself with what it is that what your mission is, so that you're approaching people in a calm or excited energy, not a give me money energy. And then the second thing, I don't remember the second thing I was gonna say.
Just don't be needy. Needy is creepy.
Yeah. What was number two that you said? Just like refresh my memory. Really,
I said taking care of yourself and doing one thing, just doing something.
Oh, yes, that's what I'm gonna say. So consistency, which is basically like what Alex said, but I think that that's big for, especially if you're on social media and you're trying to use that platform as like a way to get people, is you need to consistently show up. And no matter how stupid you feel doing a Facebook Live or Instagram story or whatever it is that you're doing, just do it and like get over whatever it is that you need to get over. I remember like when I first, like I had legit like panic attacks before I would go on Facebook Live when it first started. And I like literally had to like hold my phone out and close my eyes and just push the button and then like just start talking. I couldn't look at it. I was just like, push it, Sarah, just push it. Yeah. And like, that's just what you have to do. And then like widget, I think I had that issue like for the first two or three times, and then I was good. And I was like, oh, please, Facebook Live. Like, yeah, whatever.
Why not? Yeah, sure. That's awesome. Yeah. You know, I consistency is key, you know, and also, you know, one of the big things that I learned, especially early in my career, you know, after 9/11 and doing, you know, serving for during Operation Noble Eagle and stuff like that, is that the mission should always be bigger than what you are taking in. I mean, Jim Rohn said, you know, you can get anything you want, but you have to make sure that you get, help other people get what they want. Mm-hmm. The more you help other people get what they want, the more you're going to get. And I think that if we focus on the monetary issue, and not saying that monetary, the money isn't serious or important, because it is, but if we make that our focus or make that our goal, it's always going to be elusive. And if we're not focusing on what God put in our heart, that mission there is there to provide all the provisions that we need, because God says, hey, I'm going to give you everything that you need to succeed. Everything that you have, I'm going to put in your heart, and everything that you need to survive is going to come from that. And if we're not focusing on that mission, on that specific thing, whatever it is that God put in our heart, that's when I think we really do go awry. And that's when we don't become consistent. That's when we don't use our faith. And that's when we don't look into ourselves and kind of really, you know, I don't want to say push ourselves, because I firmly believe this, is that if you have to push yourself, you really aren't into whatever it is that you're doing.
Yeah.
Okay. Or if you could pull yourself.
Right. Exactly. You know, because if it's something that is in your heart and it's something that you really are like into, it's effortless. It really is. You know, you can get up early in the morning, you can get up and stay late at night. This is something that is driving you. This is your passion. And it's not just your passion, it's your mission. It's what God put in your heart for you to do. And it's what you are doing, you know? So I think that's, those are real key. And, you know, guys, seriously, you know, I always have so much fun with you guys. You guys always make me laugh and I love to laugh. You guys are awesome. I really appreciate you guys.
Appreciate you.
Yeah. You guys are so awesome. And you know, you guys help out so many people and I could see you guys going to help out so many people, especially during this time. You know, I'm so grateful that you guys are here to share your wisdom, you know, to everybody. And my prayer is that, you know, people can reach out to you and to help, you know, and you guys to help out even more people to be able to, you know, have these questions, you know, because they're going to have these questions and these questions need to be asked. And that's the reason why I had you guys on here, because, you know, they're very dynamic positions, you know, and, you know, people are hurting. So, you know, and I'm really glad that I was able to share this time with you guys and you guys were able to come on and share your, you know, your thoughts and your wisdom, because it's going to really help a lot of people out there. So thank you so much, you guys. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. And remember, guys, listen, you guys got to follow Alex and Sarah. You guys got to go to abundancedaily.com. Check them out, send them a message, you know, and if you missed the first episode, go back and check it out, because you're going to learn a lot about business there. You're going to learn a lot about yourself there. And seriously, reach out to them. This is, you know, like Alex said, we didn't do this by ourselves. You know, we didn't do any of this by ourselves, you know, and even if you did more yourself and you were kind of, you didn't have this big group of support, somebody along the way opened up a door for you. And that allowed you to walk through that door. So, you know, we always should be grateful and blessed and think about that, because we're going to be those people that are blazing the trail for other people to follow. And we have to be cognizant of those people who are following our lead. So, you know, with that, guys, be blessed. But most importantly, be that blessing. Until next time. I'm gonna tell you no matter.